This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, it's the tale of two parties. The Democratic National Convention gets underway today, and from the start, you can see the contrast between the two major parties. It appears we may be witnessing the abortionization of the Democratic Party. Their platform calls for taxpayer-funded elective abortions. Their speakers include the head of Planned Parenthood, the National Abortion Rights Action League, and the head of the abortion fundraising organization Emily's List. She's being considered as the next chairman of the DNC. Are the Democrats doubling down on abortion? If so, why? And could that hurt them? That's what I'll ask our first guest, Tennessee Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn, in just a moment. And the scandal involving the DNC's emails go beyond party officials simply trying to torpedo Bernie Sanders. The trove of information also shows that the DNC was working very hard in North Carolina to impose a genderless locker room and bathroom policy. What was the extent of the DNC's involvement, and could the release of the information impact the November election? Staff writer for CNS News, Penny Starr, will join me for that conversation, and we'll be going to the phones a little bit later on in the program. That number, jot it down, 866-372-7234. Well, it's good to be back behind my normal microphone after 2 weeks up in Cleveland for the platform committee and then the general convention. Very informative, very interesting 2 weeks up there, but always great to be back home. The website, TonyPerkins.com. You can find out more about today's guest and our topics. A lot of resources there on the website for you. And if you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. All right. The Democratic National Convention hadn't even kicked off, and they were already in disarray. This morning, while speaking to a delegation of delegation meeting from the delegates from Florida, DNC Chairwoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz was nearly booed off the stage by her own state. And that was after the leaked DNC email showed that the Democratic leadership played favorites. Surprise, surprise. Bernie Sanders was right. The system was rigged. Well, the evidence suggests that they did, in fact, play favorites for Hillary Clinton. Now, the new information has left Bernie Sanders supporters furious. But what is also significant is the party's overt focus on abortion, despite the fact that 62% of Americans oppose what the Democratic National Convention or Committee is proposing, taxpayer-funded abortion. Nearly 80%, 78% to be exact, believe, this is according to a new Marist poll, there should be restrictions on abortion and that abortion clinics should have the same regulation and oversight as outpatient surgery centers. But yet the Democratic Party vehemently opposes such procedures and oversight. Well, join me now to discuss the pending implosion of the DNC convention and their overt focus on abortion is the chairwoman of the House Select Investigative Panel on Infant Lives. She represents the 7th Congressional District of Tennessee, Marsha Blackburn. Marsha, welcome back to Washington Watch.
It was so good to see you last week in Cleveland, Tony, and it's good to be with you on the show.
It was. We had the opportunity to visit a little bit in the green room before we both spoke on Thursday night, and you did a great job speaking. And I was very excited that they had you speaking because of your very clear role in Congress and in the Republican Party advocating for life and for women in terms of what the panel that you are over, the investigative panel that you are chairing, is looking into what has been happening with organizations like Planned Parenthood.
Well, and what we're going to do is continue to try to figure out what is happening with the selling of the fetal body part and this entire industry that has grown up that is profiting from the sale of human tissue. So we're going to continue to focus on this. But I've got to tell you, I so agree with what you were saying about the Democrat Party and their platform and some of the components that are in there. It is as if they are going so far to the left, they don't want anything that is going to impede a woman's right to choose in any way, shape, or form. And that includes getting rid of the Hyde Amendment language that has been there to say no taxpayer funds are used for abortion.
That has been in place since shortly after 1973 and the Supreme Court decision Roe v. Wade, named after the late Congressman Henry Hyde, was placed. It's an annual rider that goes in there that says no money can be spent of taxpayer money for elective abortions. That's been there. That's been bipartisan.
Right.
But it's been bipartisan in support. And now you have the Democratic Party overtly advocating for taxpayer funding of elective abortions. From my perspective, and correct me if I'm wrong, Marcia, but I've never seen such clear contrast between the two parties on this issue than what we're seeing right now.
Nor have I. It is just amazing to me when you look at this party platform and see that what they're wanting to do is to get rid of anything, even including let taxpayer funds be used for elective abortion. And for them to say they want to get rid of any laws that impede a woman's access to abortion, it is as if they are saying this is what is above every other issue. It's above national security. It's above jobs, economic security. It's above the health care and the well-being of the woman and the unborn child. It is that ability to go have an abortion. If you decide you want to have an abortion, they are making that a priority issue. And I have to tell you, I don't think the American people are there. And I know that the abortion activists are going to be front and center this week. I know that they're going to be given the opportunity to speak at the Democrat convention. I know that the Emily's List president is the leading candidate for the next DNC chair. And I find it really quite amazing because I think their position is so out of sync with where most Americans are. As you said, the latest polling that we've seen shows that the majority of Americans believe there should be restrictions and oversight of abortion procedures in this country.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. A poll just released. It was from the Knights of Columbus. It was a Marist poll, but this is consistent with other polls that we've seen. These are not even close numbers. When you look at the fact that 8 in 10 Americans want abortion clinics to be held to the same standards as outpatient surgery centers. I mean, I authored 15 years ago, I authored that legislation in my home state of Louisiana, which is still in effect. And this is now, I mean, this is just commonplace. So many states have moved down this path, but you are seeing an activist court that blocked the most recent law from Texas. But you have the Democratic Party. I mean, I think they're out there on a limb. Now, I'm happy for them to be out there because I think it provides a clear contrast. But, I mean, pro-life, anyone who cares about life and does not want to be a party to the taking of unborn lives, I cannot see how at all they could be associated with the Democratic Party.
Well, it just is beyond me that the Democrat Party in their platform would go this far left. And because there is such a thing as pro-life Democrats, you know, I've got good friends that are pro-life, but they vote with the Democrat Party because their family has always voted with the Democrat Party. And so that is where they are politically. But this is one of those issues that you say, how could someone support that type party platform or those components of that platform? And how could they support someone like Hillary Clinton, who has said that unborn persons, her word, not mine, her choice of words, unborn persons who do not have rights. Now, you and I know that the fact that there are restrictions in place on abortion, that unborn babies do have rights. And I thought it was so interesting back in April when Hillary was on Meet the Press, and she was kind of struggling through that issue as to what terminology did she use. And I thought it was very interesting that she came around with that, but with saying unborn person. But it gets to the core of the argument, Tony, which is we believe that that unborn baby in the womb does have the right to life. And we see that you have someone like Hillary who has, we thought she was going to push to the left on abortion and try to remove restrictions. I don't think anyone expected the party to go this far to the left and say we're going to push to get rid of all abortion restrictions. Now, for those of us that are pro-life, what you would have to ask is, okay, what if Hillary Clinton decides she's going to pull a Barack Obama and govern by executive order? Then what does that do to the restrictions that we have in place and on the book? So I think we're in for a good debate on this one throughout the fall.
Absolutely. I mean, they're making very clear where they stand. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins, joined by Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee, discussing the DNC convention, the Democratic National Convention, that gets underway today. You mentioned something I think is very interesting. You talked about there are pro-life Democrats. There's no question. I mean, they're pro-life. There are pro-natural marriage Democrats in that party. But notice there's a big difference between the Republican Party. Now, you were a part of the platform committee 4 years ago, and you saw how we have an open process where all of these views are debated. But in the end, the majority clearly is with natural marriage, pro-life. The Democrats don't even allow the door to be open to those who have a conservative viewpoint. The media doesn't point that out, that the Republicans allow dissent. The Democrats don't.
Well, and I find it so interesting. You know, we're always saying we're the big tent party. And when you look at the debate that goes on within our party and within our platform, you can see that indeed we are. And the Democrats pretty much say, hey, you've got to come in here and come in line. And that's their approach to it. I find it just amazing that, you know, they push this platform this far left. I guess they think they're going to appease the Bernie voters. And now, of course, they're in total disarray with Wasserman Schultz and the email scandal. So I think, Tony, it's going to be interesting to see where it all shakes out this week. But they want everybody in lockstep. They don't
Absolutely.
Want robust debate. They don't want difference of opinion.
It is going to be very interesting to watch. Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn, thanks so much for being with us today.
Good to be with you. Thank you.
All right. And folks, we're going to continue to track the work that Marsha is doing on the Infant Lives panel. Important work exposing some of the key players in the Democratic convention who are driving this abortion agenda. All right. Don't go away. When we come back, we're going to continue this discussion of these emails from the DNC and what it means.
As an attorney in communist Romania, Virginia Prodan searched for the truth. When she finally found it in the most forbidden book, the Bible, she made it her mission to defend fellow followers of Jesus Christ against unjust persecution. For this, Virginia was kidnapped, beaten, tortured, and placed under house arrest, even coming within seconds of being executed by order of Nicolae Ceaușescu, the Romanian dictator. Virginia Prodan's extraordinary courage, her search for truth, and her defiance in the face of evil is the subject of a riveting talk that she delivered at FRC's headquarters in Washington, D.C., marking the release of her memoir, Saving My Assassin. Visit frc.org/Romania to listen to her account as well as the disturbing parallels she sees between attacks on religious liberty in Romania during the 1980s and what is happening in America today. That's frc.org/Romania.
What's at stake in this election? A lot. From the freedom to publicly practice and proclaim your faith, to the nomination of Supreme Court justices, matters of critical importance to Christians are looming in the days ahead. Family Research Council and FRC Action stand at the forefront of this battle. In these turbulent times, we trust in God's Word that He is for us and that He will give us a future and a hope of prosperity. That's why we invite you to join us on September 9th through 11th in Washington, D.C. for the Values Voter Summit. Come to learn, be encouraged, and meet others who will stand for the renewal of this great nation. You'll hear the latest on the threats to our nation's security, your religious freedom, the privacy and safety of our children and grandchildren, and much more. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information and to register. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. Black lives, blue lives, all lives. The growing racial strife and the horrific assaults upon police officers have left our battered nation black and blue. Do black lives matter? Of course they do. That was the cry of Christian abolitionists in the past. Today, when one-third of black babies are aborted, black lives matter. When the majority of black children grow up without a father, black lives matter. Where are the protests against these very real injustices? Yet the underlying problem comes not from race, but from sin. That's the common denominator we all share on both sides of the issue. As it says in Titus 3, "For we were once foolish, hating one another." Unity won't be found in a group hug, but only when we recognize that red and yellow, black and white, we are sinners in need of a savior. This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. The website is tonyperkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at tperkins. We'll be tracking this week the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia. I won't be there. I was not invited. I was at the RNC last week and the week before as a part of the platform committee. However, I will be tracking from a distance. I think it's going to be very interesting with everything happening. You know, with the fallout from the Democrats regarding the WikiLeaks emails, I think we're just seeing the beginning of this. And we've already learned of the collusion from the Democratic leadership at the party to push Democrats and the news media to rally around Hillary Clinton. In an interview with Democracy Now!, Julian Assange stated that there's more to come. Specifically surrounding what he says is the spreadsheets that they release covering the financial affairs of the DNC. And we also see the national effort from the DNC to attack bills like HB 2 in North Carolina. That was the bill that simply said the government can't force businesses and others to institute these genderless bathrooms. Yes, while the world was imploding, just as we said, while foreign policy and everything was happening internationally, terrorist attacks on our streets, what was the president in his party? Yeah, bathrooms. Bathroom policies for the nation. How far might this go? What information have we found out? Well, joining me to talk about this is a senior writer for CNS News, cnsnews.com. Great entity, great place to get information, Penny Starr. Penny, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks for having me.
All right. Let's talk about this. The DNC is in full damage control. The chairwoman, has resigned. She's stepping down at the end of the week. It sounds like now she's not even going to gavel in their own convention. How do they pull out of this? This looks like a disaster going into their convention where they were hoping to get a political bounce out of it. It looks like this could be just horrific for them.
Well, not only is it horrific, but isn't it ironic that it's another email leak, another case of emails revealing just what's really going on at the DNC?
True. And I'll have to say, I think it's, of course, they're blaming the Russians for this, that the Russians were working or apparently trying to benefit Donald Trump by getting this information. I think that's crazy. I don't think the Russians at all would benefit from a Donald Trump presidency. I think they would benefit from the status quo. But I just want to say this, go on record saying this. I think it's wrong for those who are hacking and releasing this information. I just think it's just wrong, plain wrong. The information, though, is quite revealing about how this party operates, is it not?
It is. And it's interesting that this email is I think it's, as a journalist, it's especially striking to me, some of the emails that I've looked at today that show the relationship between the DNC and some of the media who are, you know, claim to be journalists and reporting the news. And yet, if these emails wrongly leaked, do show that there's some sort of relationship between the DNC and the media.
Give us some examples of that so our listeners will understand what you're talking about.
Well, in fact, there's one, I can read from one, these are from April, and there was one, we don't know exactly who the people are that are sending it, but it says, TJ, after the rush, I'm going to send the second half of this interview to Team Maddow, referring to Rachel Maddow of MSNBC. Quote, if there's anything else we should add, especially within the realm of video contact, about this moronic little bigot of a Tar Heel governor or the bathrooms they're using to distract from their epic failings as human beings and party officials, let me know. And they're referring to Governor Pat McCrory of North Carolina and sending what they consider damaging information about, you know, against the state of North Carolina and its governor and its legislators and its citizens, for that matter.
So the idea that the MSNBC pops up a few times in these emails, they also weighed in with MSNBC to try to rein in Morning Joe when he was saying two things that were too favorable toward Bernie Sanders. So the idea that there's a firewall between the media and the political world of the DNC has just absolutely been blown up with these emails.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't know, as you said, Tony, how they recover from this. And on top of that, of course, we have the fact that these emails reveal that they were wanted to take Bernie Sanders' campaign down to make sure that Hillary Clinton got the nomination. And I think we're going to see a lot more fallout on that front.
So what happens then with that information rolling out, coming right at the beginning, at the threshold of the Democratic Convention there in Philadelphia? And it clearly now shows that Bernie was right. The system was rigged against the people supporting him. What does this do to Bernie Sanders supporters?
Well, I don't know. And what's interesting is that Donald Trump has said the exact same thing. So I think that there will be people who are supporters of Bernie Sanders actually looking at Trump. And by the way, when Trump was speaking at the RNC in Ohio, he said some things that I'm pretty sure that a lot of conservatives were taken aback, and some things that he didn't say. For example, he didn't mention anything about pro-life in his speech. So I wouldn't be surprised if there are Sanders supporters who turn out for Trump.
Yeah, it was interesting. He made an overt outreach to those Sanders supporters in his speech, you know, basically commiserating with them about the rigged system and inviting them to come over. Penny, can you hold on? I got a couple more questions for you. We're up
sure.
against a break. Can you hold on for just a couple minutes? All right.
Absolutely.
Penny Starr
Absolutely.
Is going to stay with us. She's with CNS News. We're going to continue this conversation. Then we're going to go to the phone lines here in just a bit, 866-372-7234. get your thoughts on this. What does this say about the Democratic National Committee? And are you surprised by this? Some of this stuff is actually kind of surprising, that they were this overt. You know, it's like people think they can just send these emails and nobody's ever going to find out about it. Be careful. Be careful what you say. You know, wasn't it? Be careful, little lips, what you say. Wasn't there a song like that? I think so. All right, don't go away. We're back with more right after this.
Making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
There's a fair amount of economic data coming out this week. Of course, we get a look at second quarter GDP. It's expected to be up considerably. The numbers don't indicate that that would be the case, but that's what they're saying right now, and it probably will be the case. Over 2% is what they're expecting. But the big news and what everybody's waiting for is, once again, Janet Yellen. Although there aren't too many people out there right now that think she is going to raise rates, that everything's going to stay the same. So Janet Yellen is meeting on Tuesday and Wednesday. Wednesday, she will deliver the results of the Fed meeting, which is likely not to raise rates. We'll see exactly what she is looking for, or what she's going to be looking for, and we'll take a look at that. But apparently, she is waiting for overwhelming evidence that would warrant a rate hike. Well, she's the only one that doesn't think there's overwhelming evidence out there. Well, I don't either, but the president sure does. But nonetheless, that's what we're going to be looking at. Also, I want to point out that you're going to see some victory laps this week, although the Democratic National Convention might keep this from happening. But the first-time unemployment claims, those Thursday numbers we get, it's been since February 28, 2015, since they've been above 300,000, and everybody's taking a victory lap. My perception on this is very simple. It is what I've said some time ago. We have reached a critical mass of workers in small and large companies. And everybody is at a point where they're going to limp along with a much reduced workforce. And they've already laid off and made all the cuts that they can make and still stay in business.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com, on Twitter, at TPerkins. All right, as we said, the Democratic National Convention opened today, and it opened under a cloud of controversy after more than 20,000 of the party's internal emails were leaked to the public, sending the left's crisis management team into overdrive. I mean, I can't even begin to imagine. You're hoping to go into this. And the way this thing works, usually a party having a convention, they come out with a bounce in the polls. Donald Trump got a bounce last week. He now leads Hillary Clinton 48-45, according to a CNN poll. His favorability ratings jumped 7 points. Now that's pretty decent, but the Democrats would have been hoping that they came second, they got a bump, and a lot of times coming out of those conventions, those numbers hold going into the summer. I can only imagine they're reaching for the Pepto-Bismol and the Melanta. This could not be worse news. But it's not just the attacks on Bernie Sanders, the smears against Bernie Sanders that were in the midst of these 20,000 internal emails. There's a lot of subplots buried in the pages and pages of exchanges, one in which we were just talking about, and that is the role that the Democratic National Committee played in attacking North Carolina. Joining me now to continue our conversation, Penny Starr. She is with CNS News. To find out more about them, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Great source of unbiased information, non-government supported and dictated information. You can't say that about some of these media outlets today. Penny, thanks for sticking around.
All right. Well, thank you, Tony.
Let's talk a little bit more about the the involvement that the DNC had in North Carolina. Why did they get involved in North Carolina with HB2, the state's initiative to simply prevent private entities from being forced to have genderless bathrooms? Why did the DNC care about this?
Well, because this is a huge agenda of the Obama administration. I mean, as you mentioned earlier, you know, as the world's imploding on fire in the Middle East and persecution of Christians and terrorism in our own streets, we're talking about transgender rights. And this is part of it. Don't forget that when this law was passed in North Carolina, the Department of Justice and the Department of Education actually issued guidance warning the state that if they carried through with this law, they may be prosecuted for violating federal civil rights law. Even though the civil rights law says nothing about gender identity, it's specifically referring to biological sex in that law.
So this clearly shows that the DNC is working also in concert with the White House as kind of their attack dog to back up what the White House is pushing.
That's exactly right. And they've also, you know, the thing that's striking to me about some of these emails is how, you know, they're looking for ways to hurt the state by, you know, encouraging boycotts and the kind of thing that happened with the NBA. I mean, it would be interesting to maybe do a FOIA and find out if there was any emails, or maybe there will show up in these emails something between the NBA and the DNC. You never know.
And even the White House. I mean, who knows what we might find. Penny, one last question for you. Of all the, I know there's, you haven't been able to wade through all 20,000 pages. There's some more still coming. What was the most surprising thing that you saw in this information about what the DNC has been doing and saying?
Well, I think what struck me the most, like I said, as a journalist, I can tell you that the DNC has never emailed me. And I think the fact that they have these, you know, they're actually, the emails are sort of talking points of what they want to do. And it seems, it just struck me that they are orchestrating the news. In other words, it seems very clear that they're not even just putting out talking points. They're talking about creating hit pieces. That's actually in one of the emails, a hit piece against North Carolina. So they're actually trying to manipulate the message that the news media gives to the American people, and that's very frightening to me.
It is disturbing. It only, I think, shakes further the confidence the American people have in the liberal media. Penny Starr, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you, Tony.
All right. Penny Starr with CNS News. To find out more about CNS News, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. All right. We're going to be coming back here in a bit. We're going to go to the phone lines, but I think she's right. I think not that the DNC really had any credibility, but I have to think this is going to hurt Hillary Clinton with some of the core voters that they need to be successful. They're going hard to the left. You can see that this is going to be a base election. That's why all this abortion stuff. Later in the week, it's all the transgender, and the LGBTQ, XYZ stuff. That's all center stage. They're running a base election, hoping that they'll just, you know, they'll get on the margins, they'll get some of these others. But what they're doing here, by the curtain being pulled back on how they torpedoed Bernie Sanders and his election, is so disrupt the turnout and suppress turnout that's going to hurt them tremendously. Now, I think that from a political standpoint, it's good for conservatives. This would be like the revelations that the Republicans were playing favorites, which all I can see, they weren't. I don't think it was even on the radar screen. This is going to hurt them. All right, we're going to talk about that when we come back. Phone line's going to be open. Don't go away.
After crossing the Jordan River into the Promised Land, God instructed the children of Israel to take stones from the river and make a memorial. When their future children would say, "What do these stones mean?" the parents would recount the Lord's deliverance of Israel from slavery and Israel's arrival in the Promised Land. In each of our lives, there are events that ought to be remembered, events where the Lord moved and delivered us. Whether we use stones, photos, or special celebrations, it matters only that we take time to remember what the Lord has done and pass that testimony on to future generations.
Since 1977, the American Family Association has been informing, equipping, and activating individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of America. The Lord has given us many victories over the years that laid the foundation for our work today and into the future. Learn more at afa.net.
What are students saying about Wesley Biblical Seminary? Here's Daphne Armstrong.
I chose WBS because of the biblical teaching that I knew I would receive. My relationship with God has gotten so strong. I'm really, truly depending on Him, and it's completely changed my way of thinking.
I'm John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary. Come and be a part of our community.
Apply today at wbs.edu. Wesley Biblical Seminary. Discover the difference.
Every election is important, but this year's is critical. The very survival of our republic is at stake. This is Tony Perkins, and I want to urge you to be a part of securing America's future by selecting godly leaders. As Americans, we have the right to vote. As Christians, we have an obligation to vote, preferring leaders who will stand on biblical principles. If we want our nation to once again be a beacon of hope to the world, Christians must take time to vote. Christians vote, so plan now to vote your biblical value.
With a ministry opportunity, here's Steve Tiber of 8 Days of Hope.
$22 billion of damage occurred last year in October in South Carolina due to flooding. They saw rain that they had never seen. It was a 1,000-year flood. And now you and I get a chance to go with 8 Days of Hope this October to help hundreds of families rebuild their homes. 16,000 homes suffered some type of damage. We expect thousands of volunteers to come from around the country to southeastern South Carolina in October. We're looking for roofers and plumbers and electricians, people that know how to paint and hang drywall. There's something for everybody at 8 Days of Hope. For more information, go to 8daysofhope.com.
Help us to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Sign up for at least 3 days between October 8th and 15th. And if you're not able to go, you can still help with a financial donation at 8daysofhope.com. That's 8daysofhope.com.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I am Tony Perkins, 866-372-7234, talking about the revelation of the 20,000-plus emails from the Democratic National Committee that shows that they were attempting to torpedo Bernie Sanders' campaign. Another Democrat, they were trying to clear the deck for Hillary Clinton, clear bias for Hillary. But that wasn't it. That wasn't the only thing. You see this, all these connections through these emails. In one, I think Penny made reference to this, one particularly offensive email, the DNC's broadcast media director calls Governor Pat McCrory of North Carolina a moronic little bigot of a Tar Heel governor. And he describes HB2 as a distraction from their epic failings as human beings. Well, that's amazing because I think North Carolina has the ninth largest economy in the country, and they're doing quite well. And they were doing very well until President Obama came along to help the liberal mayor of Charlotte push this bathroom policy onto people, forcing them into these gender-neutral bathrooms. Continuing this email exchange, quote, "No idea who else on COMD would have relevant information for crafting a decent hit piece on the pro-prejudice backwater of the North Carolina State House. But if you do, feel free to slack it to me," he solicited. Now, when the news broke that some bands had canceled their concerts in the state, Democrats cheered, according to the emails, calling the news great and awesome, despite the fact that the argument had no basis in fact. The DNC also helped to push a false narrative that North Carolina was losing revenue over the bill's passage and urged Democrats to pressure companies to boycott the Republican National Convention over the issue. I mean, that's how fanatical the DNC is with this transgender issue. And of course, as I said, it goes back to the president who made bathrooms the top priority of the White House. I mean, he did. I mean, he was did it first in the White House, and then he demanded that all schools across the country do the same. And that, I mean, literally, we talked about earlier, people are dying in our streets from terrorist attacks on the foreign landscape. The world is imploding. And what is the Democrats' biggest focus? Toilets. And if you ask two-thirds of Americans, they would say that's where the Democrats' agenda belongs. 66% of Americans are opposed to this. This is crazy. I mean, I think it's got to be good news for Republicans, because this shows just how far out the Democratic Party is. And as I said earlier, I think it suppresses a vote for the Democrats. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Georgia, where Chris is on the line. Chris, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. I'm actually from Kansas City, but driving around Augusta, Georgia, and listening to you on a mobile app.
Well, thanks for calling. Good to hear from you. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to ask if you have any information that you might be able to share with regard to this. I hear from a lot of liberals, both in the media and friends, who talk about how we have to regulate guns because people use guns to kill people. But they want to completely deregulate abortion, where we are killing a million kids a year. Do you have any information that points out that hypocrisy? Do you know of any movement that is taking place to help emphasize the discrepancy between what the Democrats are trying to do with this?
Well, it's an interesting question, and it shows the political, I would say, bias. I mean, and I go back to what I was going to say earlier about the link. If you look at just the speakers at the DNC, you've got the pro-abortion groups, you've got the pro-redefine natural marriage groups, the homosexual groups, and you have the White House. You have all of these liberal interest groups who almost all of them, one of their planks is to regulate guns. And you're right, they want to regulate guns, but they're so opposed to an abortion clinic having any type of regulation where women are actually dying in these clinics. The Republicans are not opposed to all forms of gun control, or I should say, for instance, background checks like we have now. There's nothing, many Republicans support those fair-minded policies. I mean, I think sometimes they go a little too far, but right now you've got to have a background check, make sure you're not a criminal. Okay. They're not interested in doing the same thing when it comes to the abortion industry. Look at what happened up in Philadelphia, where they happen to be for their clinic. I mean, how are they going to explain Gosnell? And they're wanting to actually create more Gosnells across the country with their policies. We're seeing, as I looked at the two platforms last week, what I think we are seeing is a continual, complete polarization of the country. There is quickly becoming no middle ground. There's nothing in between. You have a conservative side, you have right and left, and both are moving. Yes, both are moving more to their respective corners. And I think America is becoming more and more divided. I mean, I don't know what the remedy is for that. Well, I do. I actually talked about it last week at the RNC convention when I spoke on Thursday night. I mean, it was actually after reciting the pledge, One Nation Under God. The one thing that can bring the nation together is that common understanding that we're all under one authority, that being God. But we have seen in the last 50 years a steady and increasing effort to steadily increasing effort to remove God from the public life, from public life in America. Chris, thanks so much for calling. Appreciate the call. All right, let's go to Texas, where Barbara is on the line. Barbara, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes, hi. I was just wondering what you thought of the possibility with, the disgruntled voters, Sanders supporters, possibly coming over either to the Republican Party or a whole new third party, which would include maybe African American Christian groups who've just about had enough of liberal policies and the immorality and the immoral stance that Hillary has taken, her unethical ways. I'm finding a lot of African American Christians are not knowing what to do, knowing that they're not wanting to vote for Trump. And the same thing with American, true American evangelicals that voted for Ted Cruz. It seems to me with that many three possibilities and more groups of people, we might stand a chance with a third party. It might take quite a few votes from Donald Trump and also quite a few votes from Hillary. Wouldn't that be worth a try?
Barbara, from a theoretical standpoint, I think you would be correct. If you had the means by which you could have a viable third party in place and funded with a candidate. The problem is at this point in time, when we're, 105 days from the election, it would be very, very, well, I think it would be almost impossible. I guess it's not, nothing is impossible if you had $800 million that you were willing to drop in. You might be able to pull off a portion of it, but part of it is being on the ballot in these states and the process that it takes to get onto the ballot. So I don't think it is a viable alternative at this point. Legitimately, I think there are two candidates for Americans to choose from. You have Hillary Clinton. I assume that she's going to end up being the nominee if the whole party doesn't implode in the next couple of days. But you have, you've got all the filing deadlines have passed in many states. So it's just not possible. So you got two choices. You got Hillary Clinton and you've got Donald Trump. And I think what's going to happen, which I hope does not happen for Republicans, conservative-minded voters who are not happy with Donald Trump, if they stay home and do not participate in the process, that is going to be, in many ways, a vote for Hillary Clinton. Now, I think the same thing is going to happen with Hillary. I think many of these disenfranchised voters who feel like they were, Bernie supporters and others who just do not align are not in alignment with her policies, they're going to stay home. And in many ways, that'll be a vote for Donald Trump. It's whoever turns their votes out on Election Day that's going to win. So I would encourage Christians, evangelicals, not to stay home, but to go and to vote for the candidate that is most likely to align with at least a portion of their views and values. This is not the primary. We don't have a large field of candidates to choose from. It is literally down to two. And we still have the responsibility to be salt and light and to be involved in the process. A little more difficult, but we still have to be involved. Barbara, thanks so much for listening and for calling in. Well, I think it's a very good question. All right, 866-372-7234. Let's go to Texas where Kurt is on the line. Kurt, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I have a question. I read where the contributions that Hillary Clinton took, that 99% of those contributions that were supposed to be for downstream candidates ended up going back into her campaign.
I have not seen that numbers. I can't. I have not seen that to comment on it, but I will look into that.
So the question is, if that's true, which I'm pretty sure I know I read it, but if that's true, and I read it from the WikiLeaks, if that's true, is that not illegal?
Well, again, it depends on how the money is coming in. Now, I did read some of the information from the leaked documents that would suggest that there is certainly questionable transfers from the federal and the state, and that they were shifting money around. And that might be what you're referring to, that to try to avoid or evade reporting requirements, which is serious stuff when you start doing that. But look, this is someone. Look, let me just remind folks who we're talking about. This is someone who completely disregarded the proper protocol and the law for dealing with classified information. This is someone who has used her position politically, for political purposes. So, I mean, nothing should surprise us. What's probably most troubling to me, Kurt, is that even though this information is going to come out, that her supporters, now I'm not talking about Democrats, I'm talking about her supporters within the ranks of the Democratic Party, are not going to be moved one bit. I mean, they are committed to her. I mean, look what Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who had to resign because of this information, but not being fair as her role as chairperson of the DNC, she resigned and immediately is picked up by the Clinton campaign. I mean, that's pretty revealing. Kurt, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening. 866-372-7234. Oh, almost out of time. Let's go to Virginia, where Gordon is on the line. Gordon, welcome to Washington Watch.
Tony, appreciate what you continue to do. Got a strategy question for you. One of the strategies on the left has been to use the civil courts and dragging companies into court to establish civil financial liability in pursuit of their policy ends. Do you think a strategy of people that have been photographed and negatively impacted by the target policy provides an opportunity for civil damage kinds of suits to be brought against these companies because of the predictable outcome of their policies?
Yeah.
And that they should be financially liable for them? And is anybody doing anything like that?
I don't know, but I think the short answer is yes. I think that's why many of these businesses that have these liberal leanings actually want the government to mandate it, because then that would be a defense against the claims that people would make as a result of this. I mean, look, now I did notice the DNC actually, they have one restroom. They converted one women's restroom up in Philadelphia to a gender neutral restroom. It's the one right by the media, and the media is the only one using it. I guess they're trying to do a little showboating there. But I think you're absolutely right. I don't know the answer if someone is actually looking for cases to sue, but that was used, I think, with some success against the abortion industry. And I'll inquire. I'll make some inquiries about that, because I think that's a good point, Gordon. Thanks so much for bringing that up. All right, folks, out of time. We're finished for today, but we'll be back again tomorrow. I hope you will as well. Until then, I leave you with the words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234.
That's 1-866-372-7234.